on your part.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. As always, I'm JT Ayers, your host. If you need anything for track and field, there's one stop shop. That's ontrackandfield.com. We will hook you up with what you need. Give your athletes the best of the best so they can have the best opportunity to see some personal best, a PR, and just have a good experience. ontrackandfield.com. Just go to that website and check them out. You will not regret it. With me is Anna Hall. She's a heptathlete from University of Florida. She's now pro with Adidas. Congratulations, by the way. And this last World Championships in Eugene, I got to witness firsthand what she was able to do running and competing. She got third at Worlds. She is the Bowerman winner of the Breakthrough Performance of the Year, rightly deserved, an NCAA champion, a national champion, a two-time NCAA indoor champion, and she's going to be, I'm saying it, maybe not first, but I'm declaring right now, she's going to be the greatest athlete in world history, and she's just getting started. Anna, it's so good to have you on the podcast.
Oh, wow, that was quite an intro, but thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, watching you this last summer was unbelievable. In fact, I don't know how you were doing that because it seems like you were left it all on the table at the NCAA championships. And then you go to Worlds and you were out of your mind doing the most incredible things. And you can just see the elation on your face after high jumping and then running. And then it was so cool. So I just want to start with that. Can you just walk me through that whole experience?
Yeah, of course. So Worlds was like a whirlwind, and honestly going in, I thought I would be like really, really nervous and stressed, and my coaches were like, this is a track you've been to a million times before. They didn't add any pressure to me. They were like, this is a meet that's for you, it's your first time on the senior level, like not many meets that you do are going to be this big, and just so much hype behind it. So I really just tried to enjoy the moment and have fun with every event, and I think that showed in my performances. And then kind of each one event at a time, it just started being like, oh, okay, that's a pretty good mark. Oh, that's a season's best. Oh, that's a PR. And it just kind of started clicking along. So it was so much fun. And I kind of, now I'm going to try to take that approach into next year of like, like I do season's bests and PBs when I'm having fun. So yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Do you get nervous? Is that something you have to deal with when you go to these competitions?
I do. And when I say that, I don't mean that I wasn't nervous at all. I just was expecting debilitating nerves.
So
I do get nervous, and I get like chatty with my coaches in the warm-up area, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, like what if I'm out of shape, or what if this, and they're kind of just like, shut up, like and then once I start warming up, I try to just tell myself that the nerves are excitement, and that's like the extra energy that you have that you don't normally have at practice. So in my opinion, that's like where the adrenaline comes in. That is what's going to take me to a farther mark. So it's good to be nervous, but just kind of have to frame it.
Right. And I liked your answer. I mean, you're nervous because you care, right? I mean, there's a reason why you're doing that. So what expectations did you have at NCAAs, and how did that change when you went to the World Championships?
Yeah. NCAAs, I really was just hoping to get through the meet. I set up like a wild schedule for myself. And so I was like, if I score 18 plus points, I'm going to be happy no matter what the marks are and anything. And again, I was focusing on like one event at a time because I had so much to get through that weekend. And I started putting together a really good multi, which was kind of frustrating because then I was like, oh, I know I have the 400 hurdles in the middle of it, so I don't get to like see it through. But
wait. We have to talk about the 400 hurdles for a second.
Okay.
Why? Like, and explain maybe to the audience what I'm referring to and why I'm like, you know, kind of tripping over my words. That's not something you see very often. And then not only that, I mean, like, whose decision was it for you to go stop doing the multis, go run the 400 meter hurdles, score a whole lot of points in that, and then go back to trying to win the multi?
Yeah, that was my decision. It was actually my idea. We were kind of looking at the NCAA schedule a while out, trying to figure out, I knew I wanted to do more than one event. I was thinking maybe long jump, it's the day before the multi, but I was like, oh, like I feel good about long jump, but like, I want to do something like I think I have a chance at winning. So then I was looking at 400 hurdles, and at first I was like, oh no, like that's a bummer that the schedule's laid out that way. And then a couple days later, I was like, well, maybe. So I convinced my coaches. At first, they were like, absolutely not. But then I kind of like talked them through my line of thinking. I was like, if I do everything I'm supposed to do, like I should build myself a big enough cushion that it's okay. And so then, yeah, I got them on board and we kind of went from there.
There's not a lot of Anna Halls out there. I can tell you that. I mean, I coach and I don't have a lot of kids that are going to come up and ask for more. Hey, let me do more events. I can help my team. And so winning a national title for you was a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, winning as a team this year, we won indoor NCAAs, outdoor CCs, and outdoor NCAAs, and those are, like, the best moments of the whole season. So, yeah, I really wanted to win another one, and I knew we had some people get injured at SEC Outdoors, and so I knew we were going to be a little lighter going into it, and I was like, I want to step up where I can because my teammates were all doing the same. Other people were doubling and trying to get on relays and things like that, so. Yeah, that was a huge motivator.
Is that just the way Florida is? Because that's also not the way most collegiate programs are either. I mean, is that something that you've noticed between like Georgia and Florida? Is that it seems like everybody, and that might be Holloway's issue. Maybe he just gets everybody so on board of winning national titles that they all become selfless and they just all want to help. And watching Grant Holloway do a 4x4, I mean, that's not something you would see.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it's just the culture here. And I think in individual sports is hard because a lot of athletes want to go somewhere where they're prioritized as an individual. Like, I don't want to be sacrificed for the team because I don't want it to get in the way of like making an Olympic team or making a world team. And I think what Florida does a really good job of is Coach Holloway doesn't make us choose. He's going to write out a training plan that allows you to do both. And their goals are not mutually exclusive. And when it comes down to it, it's always our choice. So if I was like, oh no, I think doing this double is going to hurt me at Worlds, like I didn't have to do it. And so I think that makes people want to do it because one, it's your choice. And two, you trust his training and that he's so good at resting and tapering us and recovering us that I knew he was going to be able to get me ready for Worlds no matter what I did at NCAAs.
You've been pretty blessed in the sense of having Valor Christian with Brian Kula, who's a dear friend of mine and been on the podcast. And then you go to Georgia, but then you left Georgia and went to Florida. And now you have Holloway and all that entire coaching staff. And I know because you do multis, you basically get to have all of them as your coach. You know, through your perspective, even where you are now, because you're professional, you know, what is some of the coaching styles that you've noticed that have been like super effective for you?
Yeah. I really, for me, I'm kind of like a headstrong athlete sometimes. So we've learned like I kind of need to be a little bit more included in the process of like I need to understand why we're doing things and it just helps me buy in. But the coaching styles I've responded really well to are ones that are really thorough and planned out. And the coaches, I noticed that they work so hard too. Like they're almost working just as hard as all of us are. They're out at the track from 10 a.m. to like 4 p.m. every day, just group after group, breaking it down into small groups. You get the one-on-one attention. They watch every rep that you do. Film everything, like nothing is left to chance. So that, for one, the detail orientedness, and then two, they're just so positive with me. And when I was coming back from my foot, it was just constantly being built up, like, do you know who you are, like you need to remember this, all this, like they will manufacture the confidence for you if you don't have it, and then eventually you have no choice but to believe too. So yeah.
So you talk about headstrong, which, by the way, you're probably going to be a fantastic coach after your career in the next 15 years. So keep that in the back of your mind, if that can affirm you at all.
I would love to be.
Oh, yeah. But let's talk about that headstrongness with like your family. You come from a very athletic family, one of three girls, Colorado. It seems like you guys have been competitive your whole lives. Do you think that kind of attributed to you wanting to be so good at track and field and a multi-event athlete?
Yes, I do. My family, like growing up, I'm in the middle. I actually have three sisters. So like,
oh, one, so you're of four. One of four. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm third in the order. And so one, I think I have a little bit of like middle child in me, like I'm going to force you to pay attention to me. And two, yeah, we just grew up competing and my older sisters are only 18 months apart. And then I'm 3 years from my, second oldest sister. So I feel like I was always playing catch up when I was younger. Like I learned how to ride my bike earlier, was just trying to constantly keep up with whatever they were doing. And then I feel like I kind of just never stopped that. Like I was always like trying to get to the next thing and trying to get to the next thing. And I feel like that's kind of where my work ethic came from, honestly. So yeah.
yeah, there's a lot of science that goes into that birth order thing. And you just kind of hit the nail on the head talking about always having to play catch up. I mean, as a high school coach, and I have four kids of my own, my youngest, oh my gosh. I mean, he has to play catch up all the time. And that third grader is as good as the seventh grader on occasion. And so it's like, okay, this is going to be quite a fun career for him, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's go into just routines, because I want to selflessly ask you questions that I can become a better coach with, and also give this, because you're an inspiration to many. And I know you know that, but you need to hear it from me. There's a lot of girls that I am coaching that look at you and they don't see themselves too far removed from you, but they've followed your career. So what is some of those like things that you do that we can take away, like your routine or the way that you balance so much, or what are some of those things you've learned along the way?
Yeah. I would say the biggest is just not being so fixated on the marks and trying to even out like your averages. Like I like to say, like the multi is like a sport of averages. It's not about what mark can I like pull out randomly on one day and drop like 0.2. It's kind of about bringing your floor up. And so when you approach practice that way, it becomes a lot more intentional. Like I can't afford to have a bad practice just because I'm tired. Like that's not an excuse. Even if I'm not going to jump as far because I'm a little flat today, like the technique can still be good. It still needs to be productive. So for me, just making practices a lot more intentional gave me the confidence to take that to a meet. So I'm like, oh, even if I feel a little banged up day two of the multi, or, oh, I'm a little tired, like I still know that I can do the proper things when I'm tired, and then normally good marks follow. So just really honestly, like consistency and being intentional, and then doing the little things outside of practice is huge in our sport. Like there's just no way around sleeping well and eating enough and things like that. So
yeah, you pay pretty close attention to your sleep and how, what you eat and how you eat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily say I pay, like I try to eat clean, but I don't follow a specific diet because that hasn't been an issue for me yet. And I think sometimes that can get into overkill and I don't want to be burnt out, things like that. But the biggest thing I think for me and a lot of other girls on our team has honestly been that we don't eat enough for how much we train. And then I started eating more. When I got to Florida, that was one thing they were just hitting home with me. They're like, you've been lifting weights for 2 years and you haven't put on that much muscle. So like, it's probably a food thing. And I started eating bigger lunches, snacking throughout the day, getting more protein. And I started to see a lot more results and I recovered a lot better. So yeah, honestly, for me, it's just making sure I'm eating enough throughout the day, because it can be easy to forget when you're really busy or running from one thing to the next, not to get hearty enough meals in. So,
yeah, well, you are busy. I mean, how do you keep all those things in balance? You got not just you're a heptathlete, but you have traveling, going pro, now you have school. I mean, how do you keep all these things kind of like balanced?
It can be a lot. And
you laugh.
It's not like I don't get overwhelmed either, because I do. And I think every college athlete does at some point. But the biggest thing for me is just like not wasting the downtime in between things, doing everything with a slight sense of urgency. Like I'm not going to rush through my lift, but I'm going to get it done efficiently. I'm not going to wait around for 20 minutes when I know I have something due tonight. And just taking advantage of the little like hour or two in between things to just knock out a quick assignment, planning ahead, things like that. I like to write myself a to-do list every morning. And so then when I have like a free 10 to 30 minutes, I look at it and I'm like, oh, what can I get done in this little window? So yeah, my parents told me when I went to college, they said sports are a 9-to-5 and you should be doing something track or school related from 9-to-5. And then if you do that outside of 9-to-5, you should be free. And that's mostly held true. So
there you go. So there's sound advice. I need to ask you, because I can't find a lot of research on why the move, but you go to Georgia. It seems like you're having a good time and it seemed like a good fit. And then you go to Florida and the rest is history. You know, why that transition? Why move from school to school?
Yeah. So the biggest, I guess, change was my head coach at Georgia left after my sophomore year. So that's kind of what prompted me to say, okay, I'm going to look at all my options. And I thought about staying, waited to see like who the new staff would be, things like that. But it just made me want to look at everything all over again. And then honestly, off the track, which I don't necessarily think this is a Georgia thing, more just of where I was in my maturity. I wasn't that happy my freshman and sophomore year. academically, socially, things like that. So I think I was just ready to have like a fresh start somewhere else. And Florida was a place that I was really close to going to out of high school as well. So I just kind of decided it was time for a change. It just felt right. And then, decided to come here.
Yeah. Well, rest is history, right? How involved are your coaches with like making sure that you're a whole person, like academically, socially, not just athletically? How involved are coaches, or should coaches be, when they're trying to like talk to you and making sure you're are happy, you are taking care of yourself, you are growing as a person?
Yeah. I think our coaches do a really good job of every practice. When you walk up, the first thing you're going to get is like, how are you? How's class going? They know around finals time, like, did you sleep last night? When are your exams? Things like that. Just to be aware of other stressors that like might contribute to what happens at practice today. So that's something they do really well. And then having Melanie Welty on the staff, cause she's the only girl on the coaching staff, for our women's team, she's been huge. She just like has kind of a mom's touch of, she can just notice if something's up with somebody one day and pulls them aside and just talks to them about it. And, I know we all appreciate that, cause it shows that our coaches care. And I think just knowing that they care that you're in the trenches today, or care that you're going through it today, makes it easier to like push through and still get something out of practice, and then go home and try to figure the off the track stuff out. So
let's talk about Bowerman. I mean, so Bowerman, if you don't know too much about it, is basically like the highest honor any collegiate athlete can get. I mean, so for instance, if you get the Bowerman Award, that's like the Heisman Trophy. And we saw Trey Cunningham get it this last year, but you looked like a huge ball. Like, I saw pictures and I saw videos of you guys, and Brian Kulu happened to be there with you. And I know it was in Colorado, so you brought 50 of your closest best friends, right?
Yep.
Walk me through that experience. Like, what did you expect? What happened? You know, what was it all about?
Yeah. It was super fun night. It was honestly even like bigger and nicer than I was expecting. There was maybe like 200 or 300, like we all got there and we were like, wow, there's way more people in the audience than we were expecting before the finalists like all walked through. So it was really cool just to have like our seasons be like appreciated. And obviously, you know, we don't compete to win awards that aren't medals, but it is really nice to have other people recognize like, wow, your season last year, you did a lot of work and like good job. So that was really cool. And then for it to be in my home state, so I could have my old track coaches come and people who have just helped me along the way in the sport, it was really nice to have everybody in one place with my current coaches, and my whole family was there. So it was like an amazing night. Yeah.
And you received the honor of the Breakthrough Performance of the Year. And then, you know, while you were on stage, you got a surprise. You know, can you tell us all about that?
Yeah. So the Breakthrough Performance of the Year from USATF, that was super exciting. I wasn't really expecting that. So, yeah, honestly, that just made me really excited that they, like, it's like Team USA. So I was like, wow, they just like recognized what I did this year. So I'm like, okay, I'm going in the right direction, and was really motivating to keep it up. And then getting a video like message from Jackie Joyner-Kersey at the Bowerman was a nice surprise. I think once they started playing, I think they did Devin Allen for Trey, and he was before me. I was like, I think Jackie Joyner-Kersey is going to be mine. And she was. And every time just listening to her speak or encourage me at all is just like so humbling, because it's like incredible what she was able to do. So to hear her say that she believes in me is just like incredible, and makes me want to go work that much harder to try to catch up to her. So
now that you're pro and you went with Adidas, why was Adidas something that you thought that was the place? Cause we don't know too much about that world. You know, walk us through going from the best collegiate athlete to going pro. Now that you're with Adidas, why'd you choose Adidas? And, you know, how do they support you as you continue to evolve as an athlete?
Yeah. So in the like process, I guess it's almost like recruiting all over again. That's like the simplest way to describe it, I guess. but it was just so clear that in like their terms and the things that they were saying, that they just care about the athletes as people, and that we're not just like a number or like a transaction to them. And that was really big for me, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You might get hurt, or you might have an off year, and you want to be with a company that you think is going to support you along the way to that journey to maybe a comeback, or maybe your progression's not linear. So that was really great for me to hear from them. And they support me. One, I mean, sports shoes contracts, it's like no secret that they support you financially, which is a huge help, because not having to have a job on top of training is like a giant advantage. And, you know, not every track athlete is afforded that. So I'm super, super thankful that, you know, I get to be able to just focus on finishing my degree and training all day. And also they have kind of brought me onto this team. There's a lot of Adidas athletes that train here at Florida and other places too. And everybody kind of just talks and tries to support each other and encourage each other. So, yeah.
So you're going to stay in Florida and continue to train. You have access to the facility. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah. So there was already a pro group here in Gainesville of kind of former Gators and some other people that just move here. So they kind of trained with us or around us even when I was in college. So I kind of just am hopping over to that group. But yeah, my training looks more or less mostly the same. We've like upped some things, obviously, but yeah, so I'm working with all the same coaches at the University of Florida, and I'm still finishing up school. So life has felt pretty similar for now, but I think the pro versus college meets, that'll be the big difference. So,
yeah, well, you've already competed with the world's best and shown them that you are with them, if not beating all of them. So we expect and are so excited to continue to be fans. So what's next for you? Like, what does it look like from now until, you know, I mean, are we talking Olympics? Is that the big thing? Are we talking about just trying to get meets under your belt? What's next for you?
Yeah, I'm going to do indoors this year, which I know some pros choose to, some pros don't. But I think it's a really good tool just to get ready for outdoors and build on my individual events. So I'll do some indoor meets, indoor USAs, and then outdoors. I think my big meets will be GOTSIs. That's like a really big multi. I'll run the 400 hurdles on the Diamond League a little bit, which I'm super excited about, and then get ready for World Champs. And obviously, every time I'm going to be going for a higher place on the podium. So that's definitely going to be the big focus this year, and trying to get over that 7,000 points barrier either this year or next year or after that. But I would love to hit it before Paris, obviously. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, where can we follow more about you? Like, can it just let us know about social media? Where can we continue just to support you, be fans of you, and root for you?
Oh, thank you. I'm pretty active on Instagram. My Instagram is Anna with two A's at the end, .hall. And yeah, I mean, I post like workouts sometimes on my story or just random funny things that happen. So yeah, if you want to get to know me more, that's probably where you should head.
Awesome. All right. We'll make sure we tag you when we drop this podcast. Anna, we can't thank you enough. And I promised you that I keep it short. And I've had Christian Taylor on here, and I've had you now. And it seems like the Florida Gators are good interviews. And Holloway and I, Mouse and I have been talking one on emails back and forth, and he'll eventually get on here too. And I can't wait for that, because as a coach, oh my gosh, to talk to that guy. So we appreciate you, Anna. We're so excited for you. And this is just the first step. We love to have you back on when you do break that 7,000 point barrier, and when you do break some world records. So I just want to make sure we continue to talk about On Track and Field and RelayBatons.com. As a gift, we're just going to send Anna, just as like a thank you gift, for coming on the podcast. And that is through RelayBatons.com. They're going to engrave a cool little mug for her, and she can be super cool with all her Florida friends. And well, I don't know about that, but I'm going to say that. You know who also is not very good at seven events? That's our CEO, Steve Rangold, with On Track and Field and RelayBatons.com. But he's a nice guy, and that goes a long way. Listen to him after, just when I'm done talking. Steve's going to take us away, and you can find out how to get in contact with them and more on social media. So, Steve, without further ado, you take it away.
And our first podcast of 2023 is in the can. Huge thanks to our guest, heptathlete and track stud, Anna Hall, and our host, Coach JT Ayers. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com, custom engraved and meet and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers, Great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards, and coaches' gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com, cross-country and track's one-stop source for everything you need for a successful season. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And you can save up to 50% when you use the word Track Talk at checkout. Some exclusions apply. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials in the new year at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at OnTrackAndField on Twitter and the Gram.